Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Kings, chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan, Ezrahite, and Heman, and Talcol, and Drakah, the sons of Malchol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Back in June of 2012, I presented a lesson on proverbs, and it was titled Parenting Through Proverbs, Instilling Character in Children. And I made reference to a book that was written, but I also requested that you submit your favorite proverbs and that I would make a list of them and then present them to you, and we could spend a year looking at a proverb each week. Well, this is the year. This is the year of Proverbs. We have a class that will have 26 lessons, and I have collated that list of proverbs that you presented, and I will have them on the back table when you leave today, and I will show you the proverbs that were your favorites. Here's the book that we made reference to. It's by Barbara Decker, and it was Proverbs for Parenting, a topical guide for child raising from the book of Proverbs. And I highly recommend this book. And I was going to use the topics in this book to list the proverbs that you provided me with so that I would have them under a specific topic. But now that we are going to, and here's the content of the book. There was the introduction, and then there was the topic of reverence for God, wisdom and instruction, self-control, control of the mouth, relationships, wrongdoings, godly characteristics, and prosperity. So those were the topics that she selected, and then would select proverbs under those as to how to help your children. The ones that are in yellow, I will just make a quick comment on later on in this presentation. Our memory verse for our class, lesson 1, is chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I may have chosen that one as well as the one on our list. So we'll get a double hit that way. So that's our memory verse for this week in Proverbs. As I mentioned, I had requested your Proverbs, your favorite Proverbs. And I have a handout which has a list of your Proverbs. Somehow I ended up with 53. And it's arranged by the chapters in our lesson book. So what I did was I looked at each proverb that you gave me, and then I found where it was listed in our book. Now, sometimes in our lesson book, the same proverb is listed several times, but I only presented it in the first place I found it. And this is what the list is sort of going to look like. You're going to have the week number. You're going to have the book, the lesson number from the book, and then the verse, and then there's also written the particular topic from the book, the foundation for real knowledge in lesson 1, Lesson two has the guarantee for success. Lesson three is a recipe for failure. Lesson four is the way of wisdom or the way of folly. And lesson five, of course, is anchors that hold. Anyway, that's how the list will look to you, and so you'll have a breakdown. I've also included the New American Standard version of the proverb, but feel free to learn the proverb in the Bible version that you use for yourself, and that's fine. Well, what makes a proverb so special? Certainly it's a short, pithy thing, it's memorable, and it's ideal for teachable moments. And this is a kind of a rehash of the lesson that I gave you a year and a half ago. And so it would be focusing mostly on the younger people, but it applies to us equally well. There are things that will happen to us, and if we can have a proverb to deal with that particular situation, we will be much better off in our lives for making the right choice. In Deuteronomy, Moses told the people of Israel, as they were ready to enter the promised land after wandering 40 years in the wilderness, he said, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, all the time. They're going to be on your mind, and you're going to be teaching these words, the words that he had said to the Israel before they were entering the land. And now we can look at all the scriptures that we have, and we're going to focus on the Proverbs. And these are things that we can be teaching our children as well as ourselves. Again, what makes it so special? Well, they're catchy. They have sort of like a rhyme to them, but they're thought rhymes. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Kind of catchy. Pride goes before destruction. Sometimes we use a different word, right? Pride goes before, you fill in the blank, whatever your version says. And then there are contrasts. Not this, but that. And those are easy sayings to remember. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. But a humble spirit will obtain honor. And we have a selective list in the book of Proverbs. As you heard in the scripture reading, Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs, or made 3,000 proverbs. And yet we have only 900 in this collection of proverbs. So they've been honed down from 3,000 to 900. The Queen of Sheba, when she traveled far and wide to hear the wisdom of Solomon, I'm going to read you what is said in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 3 to 7. It says, "When the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house which he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his ministers in their attire, his cupbearers in their attire, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, she was breathless. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe their reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpassed the report that I heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these, your servants, who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom.'" the wisdom of Solomon was world renowned. And what was being said about his wisdom was couldn't be said in words that you could believe unless you were there to see him. And that's what the Queen of Sheba said. And as we said, one of the things about Proverbs is they're easy sayings and they're perfect to teach our children timeless ethical principles. You know, we really stress in this society, in our country, education. We send our children to school. We tell them they must go to college or they should think about going to college. All these kinds of things. Get an education. I was raised under that umbrella. My mother lived on a farm in Oklahoma. Her parents were immigrants from Italy. They were very poor. She got to go to school only occasionally if the chores that needed to be done in the raising of all these children were done. She didn't have clothes to wear. She didn't have shoes to wear. They would use hand-me-downs. And the shoes were usually too small. And as a result, her feet were very deformed because of that. And their clothes were made out of flour sacks that still had the labels on them and everything. And of course, they were probably blind when they went to school. She went to the eighth grade, she said. Dad went to high school, but he didn't like it. But both those parents, from the day we could listen, were telling us, go to college, go to college, go to college. And so we did. Good children. It's easy to remember. Children certainly need wisdom. And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, wisdom along with an inheritance is good, an advantage to those who see the sun. For wisdom is protection, just as money is protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the lives of its possessors. Now, we've had a study in Ecclesiastes. Now we're studying Proverbs. Song of Solomon must be on the horizon. There's a problem, though, in trying to read Proverbs like we read other parts of the Bible. You know, we always ask the question, who wrote it? Who was it written to? What were the conditions of the time? But we don't read Proverbs that way. It's more like a dictionary. It's just this saying, that saying, wanders from this subject to that subject. And so that makes it difficult to just read through. Now, I think Robert Hochreiter is probably going to help us a little bit in getting through the 31 chapters, but we'll get most probably out of the topical approach to studying Proverbs. And the solution then is a thematic study and with a bunch of character-building categories like honor and respect for God, self-control, relationships, godly characteristics. And those numbers to the right there are the numbers of times that the numbers that correspond to your handout sheet. Let's just look at, for instance, honor and respect for God. Let's just look at a few at this topic. Let's look at a few proverbs that are there, just to get a flavor of how these are really nuggets. These are gems to grab a hold of and to use them in our daily lives. Considering outward appearance. In 1 Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for God looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This had to do with selecting a king. Okay. Don't look at the outside. Look at the inside. Well, what did the wise man say in Proverbs 31:30? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Men, pay attention. Young men, pay attention. Important proverb. not the outside, it's the inside. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. When we talk about heart, we're not talking about the organ that pumps blood around our body, we're talking about our mind. We are what we think. Our mind. People say we are what we eat. No, that's just our physical body. That's just the shell that houses our spirit. And it's our mind, that we need to watch over carefully. From it flows the springs of life. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Very simple. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. When we go to work, we're working for the Lord. When we provide for our family, we're working for the Lord. Keep that in mind. Like a city whose walls are broken down, so is a man who lacks self-control. This is under the heading of self-control. If you lack self-control, you're like a city whose walls have been broken down. Self-control. Something you start learning when you are young. Some of us have a more difficult time doing it. Our nature is such that we lose control fairly easily. But if we don't get control of self, we are going to be plagued through life like a city broken down, whose walls are broken down. He who rules his spirit is better than he who captures his city. A lot of truth there. More in self-control. This is one I need. If you find honey, eat just enough. Eat too much, and it will make you sick. Now we talk about taming the tongue. He that guards his tongue guards his soul from trouble. We had an excellent lesson on the tongue. From Dallas. Yeah. Remember, Brian? You weren't here, you missed it. You can listen to it on our website. He just gave us many, many scriptures on the importance of controlling our tongue. And usually what we say starts here. And what we think. If you don't mean it, don't say it. There is one who speaks rashly like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings health. My mother used to say, you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's it. Modernization of one of these proverbs. Taming the tongue. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many have experienced this? And we talk about sort of throwing gasoline on the fire. Another proverb, right? Adding gasoline, fuel to the fire. When you get involved in a conversation, and if harsh words are start being spoken, and both parties, you'll see just kind of escalate, and eventually there'll be a nuclear explosion, and nothing is gained, because when people start shouting at each other, they aren't listening. They are just talking. And I think I said in one of my lessons, to hear, that God gave us two ears and one mouth. We need to hear more than what we say. Okay, and here, a gentle answer, though, turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Try that, when you get involved maybe in a heated discussion. But just become gentle in your response. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. We have expressions like that. I think there's, I don't know if it's on this or not, about Ben Franklin. No, Abraham Lincoln's quote, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. I like that. Relationships. Can be nothing more truer than this statement Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I know when I talk to parents and how they need to be involved in their children's life and who their friends are. Because it's hard to explain to a child that that friend isn't going to help you get to heaven. Usually what happens in a relationship, if you are here and you're on your path to God and someone you become close to is down here, you might use this rationalization. I can help them and pull them up. But normally what happens is, like gravity, there's attraction. Yes, you're pulling them up, but yes, they're pulling you down. And that's the concern. That's the care. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And so if you participate in things which are not morally right, or if you're around things which are not morally right, and don't walk away, you're in danger. You're in grave danger. And there's a proverb that says, he that walks with the wise grows wise, but companion of fools will suffer harm. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. So we need to be watching out for ourselves and who we have close relationships with. Godly characteristics, the final topic that we'll just look at briefly. Compassion for the pure. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. One expression just popped into my head was, they put their pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time, or something along those lines. You're not any different than you are. It's important to work hard. Proverbs 6:6-8, go to the end. That's one of ours. O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. As a youngster, many of us made ant farms. They just work. Amazing. The importance of working hard. He that is diligent in his business shall stand before kings, and not among ordinary men. Okay. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. So warnings. That's a warning. Too much pleasure, too much wine, too much food can get you in trouble. Humility. Important characteristic. Let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own mouth. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Honesty. Honesty is the best policy. Probably Benjamin Franklin said that, or somebody like him. But Solomon was way ahead of him. Lying is an abomination unto Jehovah, but he who deals truthfully is his delight. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. That should be easy to remember. I have a difficult time memorizing things at my age. I'm going to work at it. I think I can get this one. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. There's gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. These are all proverbs that deal with honesty. Well, what's our challenge for 2014? We're going to read the book of Proverbs. And it's organized in a class setting so that we will have not to on our own sit down and decide how many chapters am I going to read today and how am I going to make sense of what's being said here. We'll have the benefit of Robert Harkleiter's workbook to help us get through all 31 chapters, all 915 verses of the book of Proverbs. And then, of course, we'll have some memory work after each chapter. And in the book, there are going to be 26 memory verses. And then in the handout, there's going to be another 53. But as I said, there's probably some duplication. And so when we see that, we'll probably only need to try to memorize 52 Proverbs this year. A challenge for 2014. It'll be harder for me than it is for you. And I know when I've read the book of Proverbs that I've always commented that I wish I'd have known these things a long time ago and been able to use them in the raising of our children and just in my own life and how to deal with people and with God. But I'm thankful that God gave me the time, even now, to look at it. Well, one of the wisest things you can do this morning is become a Christian. The entire Bible is basically a love story, God's love story about his creation. There were periods of time where tough love was involved. And there was a giant flood, and everyone of Adam and Eve's descendants were wiped out, with the exception of Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And they repopulated the earth, and we are where we are today, with billions of people. But we separate ourselves from God by disobedience. We make decisions to do things contrary to what God would want us to do. And when that happens, just like when Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, God has to separate himself because he knows no evil. And so we're separated from God. God said, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. And they were separated from God. And eventually forced out of the garden where they could no longer partake of the tree of life and live forever. And so physical death is now part of our lives as well. But Jesus left his relationship, his throne, with the God, with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and came and became one of us. He took on human form. And we can see it, how he lived his life in a godly way, without sin, and was willing to be a sacrifice for us, to take our place in the punishment that we deserve because of our actions, our decisions to be contrary to God. And that decision that Jesus made, he gave up his life so that we could have life. And then after that, he arose from the dead, and he was on the earth for about 40 some odd days, 40 to 50 days, and then he went into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. And his apostles, 11 of the 12 men, were then given the responsibility of presenting the good news that Jesus had died, was buried, was resurrected, and through obedience to him, repentance and baptism, we too could become in a right relationship with God. That's what being a Christian is. That's the first step. That's being wise in obeying what God has set out for us, a way to be back in a good relationship with him. And so if you're not a Christian and you've studied with someone or you've read on your own, what you need to do to become a Christian, that you need to confess, you need to repent, that you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then today is as good a day as any day to make that first wise decision. And then after that, we need to just continue walking in the ways of God, to be obedient to his laws under the Christian dispensation. And there's no longer a need for animal sacrifices to appease God. Jesus died once for all. And so, if you're subject to either becoming a Christian today or asking for help because you are a Christian but you need the prayers of the saints, now's an opportunity to do that as we eat together.